This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And junkies, all of you NWA loyalists, welcome to this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network, your home for everything wrestling up and down the dial. I love dating myself because I love radio so much. I am Scott Criscola. Another guy who loves radio so much is the doctor, Dr. Johnny Fever.
Yo.
Did you say booger on the
air? Where's the carts? The turntables?
The turntables. What a show. I have it on my shelf here in Studio B. With the music. That's why they finally were able to put it on a DVD, WKRP in Cincinnati, because they were able to finally get the BMI ASCAP.
Studio G, you know what I'm saying?
What's that?
I don't have that here in Studio G.
Studio G, is that what you are? Studio G. Doctor, what's going on? Of course, Dr. G, George Oblino. Welcome to the Saturday Special. Great episode of Power that we're going to talk about this today, if it's Saturday. Yeah,
things are coming into shape here now. Things are, you know.
Yeah. We got some
very
solid...
weird. I would like to know how they recorded these shows, because they definitely don't record them in order, because last week's crowd was seen bigger. It was hotter. This week's crowd was smaller. I mean, the stuff was still good that was on it.
But
it's just weird.
Wouldn't they have to record them in order? I mean, wouldn't it make no sense? You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know. You know, because of them not being the big two, or even the big three, if you want to call that, if you want to throw Impact in there, you don't really get a lot of that behind the scenes of how things are done type of thing. I mean, I guess if I really searched online, maybe I could find it, but you would think it has to be recorded out of order, right? Because I mean, they only did 2 days of recordings, and there's a bigger crowd than others. I don't get it. I'm trying to figure it out.
It is very strange. I agree. It is very strange. And I also noticed that for the first time, they're really pumping up the next pay-per-view, their pay-per-view, Hard Times 2, which is coming up on Saturday, December 4th on pay-per-view, which you can get on Fight TV. And of course, we'll be with you that weekend for our usual pay-per-view fare. We will have, we won't do a Saturday special. We'll probably take that weekend. Well, I don't know what we'll do. We can't really take the weekend off. Nah, no. We'll probably still do a Saturday special that morning. We'll do a preview. Maybe we'll do a special midweek Saturday special.
Yeah, we could do that.
We are, of course, going to do live commentary via the Place to Be Nation Twitch feed. You, me, the Kettle Man, Callum McDougal, and hopefully Sean Kidd. And then, of course, Sunday morning, on the feed, of course, we will have our reaction special. So we'll see what we will have a preview special. I don't know if we'll do it Saturday morning. That's a lot for one day. Maybe we'll do a midweek Saturday special. Maybe we'll even record it the night power happens. Maybe that Tuesday. Anyway, we got quite a few weeks to figure that out. So anyway, they really weren't talking a ton about the show in Kentucky, by any means necessary. They did promote, you know, tickets. I'm sure there are still some. That is, of course, coming up. They're taping it 1 week from tomorrow, Doctor, October 24th. And you could watch it on Fight TV a week from this Wednesday, October the 27th. Now, I haven't seen it on Fight TV
yet. Now, here's the question.
Yeah.
Where is Power going to be originating from after that pay-per-view? So if there's anything that happened, they obviously, when they recorded this, they knew what the results were going to be, which, you know what I'm saying, of this pay-per-view.
Right.
I don't, you know, it's interesting to see. I mean, how many hours did they get out of those 2 days? You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm thinking that they recorded out of order in various parts of the day. You know, like, you know, you start in the morning, you're not going to really have a big crowd because people are working. But as the day goes on and people get out of work, they were coming into the, you know, into the ballroom there and, you know, filling up the crowd as the day went on. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure this out.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to be running out of the Chase tapings. I mean, it's been fuck. I mean,
I haven't seen anything shows? For at the GP. I haven't seen anything at the GPB studio. So my thing is, what I'm saying is, what when they after that pay per view, will any championships change hands? If no championships change hands, then it doesn't really matter what they did at the Chase, because
here's
you
the other
kind
thing.
Of play
though.
It off.
Here's the other thing. Do you feel like maybe like people kind of came and went as they like, you know, you maybe they weren't, you know, you got a ticket for the day, and maybe, to be honest, they did maybe they started early in the morning and took a break between shows.
Well that's what I was saying. That
maybe they come and
they
go.
Probably started at like 10 in the morning, 9 or 10 in the morning. And as the day went on, you know, you got like a full day ticket. As the day went on, people, you know, came in and out. Maybe during lunchtime, people came, you know, you get what I'm saying? Like, and then maybe
right.
by, you know, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, they probably did take a break at some point, you know, just to give a break for everybody that's the crew. And, you know, maybe during lunchtime. So maybe people didn't come during lunchtime. Maybe they took a break during that time. And then in the later afternoon, you know, some people worked till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you know. Then people started filling up the ballroom a little bit more.
Mm.
It's interesting. I'd love to know how they do it. I really would.
I concur.
If there's anybody out there, you know, listening that lives in the St. Louis area, and you know, maybe went to some of these shows, write us. You know,
yeah, follow-
at Dr. TV on Twitter and. Yours is at
Scott Podfather. C. Podfather or Scott C. Podfather, or okay. You could tweet the brand at PTBN Wrestling and let us know. Were you at the pay-per-views, and were you at the Chase tapings, and let us know how they made out, how they were laid out in terms of recording.
Yeah, I would love to know that, you know.
I have a feeling we'll be heading back to the GPB soon, because that's obviously where December's pay-per-view is. Speaking of, I want your thoughts on something quick before we move on.
Sure.
So, obviously, we just mentioned that Hard Times 2 will be on Saturday, December 4th. That, at the moment, Doctor, is the only major pay-per-view of the month. AEW isn't having one. What do you call it? It's not having one. Impact. And now it was announced today. There's a pay-per-view coming up in October, the Saudi Arabia one, Crown Jewel for WWE. Oh, people are calling it Halloween Havoc. I think it's actually very funny. Halloween Havoc. And then of course Survivor Series, which is in your backyard, your old backyard at the Barclay Center in Brooklyn. But it has been announced that there will be no WWE pay-per-view in December.
Yeah, I saw that today.
They were originally going to do TLC on Sunday, December 19th in Chicago. They have decided to bag it. So for the first time since 1994, WWE will not have a pay-per-view in December. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, and
now, why do you think that is? Do you think the
well, don't forget
sales
they're having that
weren't doing well.
Well, don't forget, they're having that show called Day One. They're having the paper, they're having the network special on New Year's Day down, coincidentally, in Atlanta, where the NWA show will be. But they're doing a big pay-per-view slash WWE Network special and Peacock called Day One on New Year's Day in Atlanta. So I suppose, why would you do a pay-per-view before Christmas where no one will probably get it or watch it when New Year's Day, which is probably, to be honest, Doctor, that's actually a pretty good idea. Because what else is anybody doing New Year's Day evening? Usually
just recovering from their hangovers.
Exactly. So people are probably going to throw on the cock or WWE Network if you live, you know, internationally, and probably throw it on. So what are your thoughts on that? I got to be honest, from a business perspective, I think it's a great idea. Somebody said to me,
I like the New Year's Day.
They're not going to. I agree.
The New Year's Day idea. I mean, in regards to why they canceled, I mean, yes, it could have been a business decision. Maybe tickets weren't doing as well in Chicago. I mean, Chicago's a great city for, I mean, most people love it. And obviously, that's where AEW was kind of born, which is weird because obviously, you know, the Cons are from, you know, deal through Jacksonville. I mean, they're not from Jacksonville, but that's where they you know, their home base is, so that's where they have it. But I tell you, you could have made the headquarters in Chicago because that's the city that really helped create AEW. So I don't know. I mean, listen, at this point, you know, people have to purchase the network now. It's not like buy pay-per-view buys. You know, that's not a big thing anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's smart if you have something on New Year's Day, go with that. Listen, I'm sure it's you know, the writing team is probably not crying over it. Gives them a break. Well, there's never a break in WWE, but you know what I mean.
Somebody said,
I like the first day thing.
I do too. I like it a lot, actually. I'm wondering if, you know, they plan a reboot. You know? Do like WCW did, strip all the titles. No, that's a terrible idea. But maybe they'll do like tournaments and do fresh number one contenders, and who knows? Maybe something different. Anyway,
I mean, I you know, it's so hard. You know, that's why we're kind of like in this little niche of the NWA and what they're doing. It's so hard now. I mean, they've done everything you could do, and it's weekly television, and it's constant. Mm-hmm. You know, you're basically putting on a pay-per-view every week. If you think about it, with the show, you know, the show since the Attitude Era, or even a little before that, you know, you used to be able to have squash matches and things like that. But now it's you're putting on a pay-per-view every single week. And after a while, I mean, you know, we all think we know wrestling and everything, but after a while, you got to run out of ideas. So sometimes you do have to recycle ideas just with different people, maybe different twists.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's why we like the NWA, because it's a little different. It kind of gives you that old school feel with the new school attitude kind of thing.
Right.
So, I like it, though. I like the day one thing, though. It's you have nothing to lose there. Like you said, most people are, you know, home recuperating, you know, fishing, cleaning up after their parties, throw on Peacock and watch a little wrestling. Mm-hmm. What time is the show? Do you know?
I'm sure it's.
If you don't know, I don't. What's that?
No, it's probably 7 or 8. I'm sure. I'm assuming.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Probably be even.
So I mean, so it gives you a chance.
Day,
to
don't forget, New Year's Day. I think New Year's Day is a Saturday. Yeah, because Christmas Day is a Saturday. I think. Let me look. Let me check the calendar. Pretty sure it's a Saturday.
I think you're right.
New Year's Day is a Saturday. So it'll be on a Saturday night, which is perfect.
I like that. I love when New Year's Day and Christmas Day fall like on a Saturday. It's nice.
So I do when I don't, because stuff. Then you lose days off during the week. But, you know, I guess if you have a certain.
Well, I think if Christmas Day is on a Saturday, I think you get the Friday off. If it's on a Sunday, then you get the Monday off.
So
you will get a day.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, and then somebody said, AEW will scoop in. And no, they won't, because the Cons aren't stupid. December has always been, let's be honest, Doctor, December is not a great month for stuff like that. People are busy. People are at Christmas parties.
It isn't. They used to do big shopping. Christmas Day shows back in the NWA, but, you know, so down south they were kind of used to that. But no, normally December is not a great month. So, I mean,
not,
I guess
I'm not talking about the
wise,
holiday itself. I'm talking about like the leading up to it. Like I could see going on the holiday like World Class used to do. I'm saying like during even the Attitude Era. Because think about historically.
No, that's what I'm saying is that December is – I'm not just saying Christmas. I was just mentioning Christmas that you know, NWA and WCW used to do like Christmas Day shows.
World
that
Class
was probably their
you.
Biggest thing. But in the actual month itself, beginning of the month, now people are – there's so much going on. They're focusing on other things. I know there's going to be people thinking that it's WWE's doing it because, you know, like I mentioned, maybe ticket sales. And it could be. I don't know. Maybe ticket sales were slow. I don't know if they even started putting them online or the pre-sales went online for that show already anyway.
I don't know.
I wouldn't think that they would have it out that early, but, you know, I'm not positive on that. So
no, I'm not either. And I don't think they've even announced where the Royal Rumble is. Yet.
That's,
I'm sure it'll be in a, I'm sure it'll
unusual.
Be in a
visual.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be in a baseball stadium. Obviously the only bona fide show so far for 2022 is WrestleMania, which is of course down at Jerry's house. But, yeah. So really the only quote pay-per-view for the month of, December will be the show you and I will be watching. And that is of course, Hard Times 2,
Hard
which
times.
Will be on, which will be on Saturday night, December 4th. So
I can't wait to for Callum to say it in his Dusty Rhodes.
I know. Voice. We'll obviously have live commentary on our Place TV Nation Twitch feed. And that's Sunday morning, the 5th. We will have a reaction special on the feed, probably drop at 9 a.m. We'll definitely do a preview. I don't know if we'll do it Saturday morning or if we'll do it earlier in the week. We may do a special episode earlier in the week. So we kind of spread it out a little bit, but anyway, we got time. All right. I just wanted your opinion on that because I saw that today. All right, let's go to this past Tuesday for the October 12th, 2021 episode of NWA Power. We are at the Chase still. Crowd's not too bad. Crowd's pretty hot. Your table, we have Joe Galli, we have Velvet Sky, but another guest in the middle chair, Tim Storm, is, quote, on assignment, which is strange. He's probably backstage taking a pill. So in his place is your NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Trevor Murdoch. So, of course, Sean immediately shut it off. Not sure.
You know, I think they're kind of being smart. They're putting somebody else in the third chair that just to kind of give a little extra time for certain young talent just to kind of get over a little bit, to kind of keep their faces fresh. You know, like Trevor wasn't going to wrestle on this show, or he's not going to be on every show. So there's a chance to just get him in there, not letting, you know, the NWA world champion is there.
Right. I agree with you. So tonight, Doctor, we've got some big matches. We have both semifinals in our NWA World Tag Team Tournament number one contenders. Let me say that again. I have too many words. I felt like Bill Mercer there. I threw too many words in a sentence out of order. I've noticed that with Bill Mercer. I've been watching a lot of World Class lately, and he always said things like in weird warbled orders. And he can never say six man tag team champions right. He always called it the situation or the thing or the quest or like. Isn't it funny how like all of these promotions never knew how to talk on camera? Mid-South, Bill Watts used to barble his words, and like all the only ones, in my opinion, besides WWF, I always felt like the only promotion that knew how to say the wrestling jargon was Crockett. They knew how to say championships, belts, tournaments, that kind of thing. Bill Mercer, and look, Bill Mercer was like the voice of World Class Championship Wrestling, so I can't take that away from him, but obviously, he wasn't like a wrestling guy in the beginning because there were just a lot of times he just said things very strangely. But anyway.
Yeah, I think he was – he and Mark Lawrence, I think, were both
regular broadcasters before.
I think Mark Lawrence was a minister for a deacon. I think you're right. I think he was like a, you know, like a, I don't think he was, maybe he was Methodist. I don't know. Anyway, so I just pulled a Bill Mercer and went way too many words together. In immortal words of Willy Wonka, strike that, reverse it. The number one contenders tournament for the NWA World Tag Team Championships. Of course, the belts currently held by in immortal words of Matt Rotella, La Rebellion, who will face them on December 4th at Hard Times 2. That was said, actually, on the show, Doctor, if you caught it. The winner of this tournament will take on the champions at Hard Times 2. That was set in stone. That was said by Joe Gallagher.
Yep, I think
that's
great. I think, again, all these shows are building up to the big Hard Times shows. I know that they... That's why I think the Tried and True show, I don't think when they originally did these tapings, they knew that was going to happen. So that's why I'm interested to see how they're going to, what they're going to air after that pay-per-view. So
I feel like it's just like a televised, I feel like it's kind of a glorified house show. Like an indie house show. That's what it feels like to me.
I don't think you're going to see any I don't even remember what all the matches were to be. I don't think you're going to see any belts change hands, so I think you'll be okay there.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay too.
I think they're going to save anything like that for Hard Times.
I agree.
Hard Times 2.
So the winner of this tournament will face La Rebellion that night in at GPB. All right. So the episode of Power this week bookends with the two semifinals. One match opens the show, and then we have the other match will main event the show. So we get our intros and dive right into the first match. So the first match is semifinal number one, Hawks Airy, father-son team, taking on Sal Renaro and Mims. Of course, managed by Danny Deals. So the winner of this match gets a slot in the tournament final. This was actually a lot of fun to watch. And I did like, I'm not the biggest Sal Renaro fan, but I did like his Mega Powers tights, even though it said Mega Pal on his butt. I did like the Mega Powers tights. I have to admit,
he's a little bit of a goofball, but it's all right.
He is a goofball.
You need one of those, characters and to throw in every once in a while.
I agree. In the climax, Luke tags in his son, is Luke the son and PJ's the – wait, right? No, Luke's the father. PJ's the son, I think, right? Now I don't remember. Why am I forgetting?
PJ anyway, is
– I think PJ's the son. Anyway, double Irish whip, double backbreaker for a two count. The referee ejects Deals from the ring. Yeah, Danny Deals was trying to get involved, almost kind of heelish tactics. Very strange. Renaro denies the Irish whip, then a sit-out face buster. He tags in Mims. Mims stomps on PJ's midsection. Then PJ recovers for a dropkick. Mims stops him in his tracks. He applies the bear hug. Mims drives PJ back first into the turnbuckles. He tags in Renaro. Mims hits a side belly-to-belly suplex before leaving the ring. An assisted leg drop for a one count. Renaro applies the cravat. Renaro transitions into a side headlock. Renaro goes for a handspring back elbow smash, but PJ counters with a belly-to-back suplex. Great reversal there, by the way. It was a tremendous move. Renaro goes for a handspring. Thank you, by the way, to my always good friend, Josh Lopez, for helping me with my notes, as always. Renaro uppercuts PJ, then hits a short arm reversal, drives his knee into the midsection of Renaro. PJ drops Mims with a leg lariat, then hits a double leg takedown, and then PJ makes Renaro tap out to the Hawks clutch. So the father-son team of Hawks Airy is in the tournament final. What'd you think of the match?
I liked it. I tell you the truth, I enjoy watching Hawks Airy, and Mims does his thing. And listen, Sal Renaro could go in the ring. It's a good hand, you know what I'm saying?
No, oh, God.
I know, Sean. But no,
Sal Renaro's a terrible hand.
But no, I mean, you looked at it on paper, you're like, is this going to be really a good match? Even though Mims was in there, Hawks, and PJ and Luke were in there, but it was actually. I really enjoyed it. I like the action. I like the facts that PJ the son got the win. on the team, and they were very excited about it after the match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of gives that real feeling to it, you know, father and son trying to win the championships together. You know, there's a little good little storyline going on there.
Yeah, I agree. And they've always been solid. They've been a great team. I think they're one of those good teams that enhance the tag team division. And a good match. I think the fact that we were able to have a really good tournament with a lot of good teams shows that the tag division in the NWA is very deep. So Hawks Aerie is in the final, and they'll take on the winner of the second semifinal, which will be later on in the broadcast. All right. These might be out of order. I kind of warbled my notes thanks to help from Josh kind of all over the place. So these may not be in order that they aired, but they did happen. So Chelsea Green, Crazy Chelsea with her trophy. Melina and Kylie Rae state their cases as to why they should be the number one contender for Camille's World Women's Championship. Of course, Chelsea Green is nuts, starts screaming into the mic. She's kind of bonkers. That was her gimmick in Impact, and we liked it. Of course, Melina wants a piece of Camille after Camille attacked her a couple weeks ago at the broadcast table. And of course, Kylie Rae just is Kylie Rae. The women's division is rock solid. And this is what we needed. I think, you know, Camille has needed to be the face of the women's division. And she's got a slew of solid number one contenders. As much as I miss her immensely in the NWA, I am very happy that Thunder Rosa is in AEW, because I think her shadow was cast very long in the women's division in NWA. And I feel like with her now moving on, we have a lot of good pure her and, of course, Serena Deeb. We have pure NWA talent in the women's division, Dr. G. So we know they're sticking around. We know they're loyal to the cause. And that's why I think the women's division is pretty solid right now.
It is. It is very solid. And what do you think about the Kylie Rae gimmick?
It's Bailey. It's great value Bailey. But that's okay.
It is.
It doesn't hurt to have those once in a while.
It is. But I don't know. She's I'm kind of enjoying her, because it's almost like she's almost too giddy. And then she gets in there and she has those mean streaks, you know, like, for a lack of a better comparison, but it just comes to mind a little bit. It's obviously the character is not the same, but you know, when you had Eugene wrestling in WWE,
mm-hmm.
where, yep. you know, he seemed like he was simple and he wasn't going to, you know, like he's happy go lucky, but then he had that mean streak sometimes that he would get in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, like he would be able to, you know, show that mean side, or you know he could fight with the best of them. That's what the Kylie Rae character reminds me of a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Sure, I agree with you on that. But I love Crazy Chelsea Green. She's awesome. We get a tape.
Isn't that you on a Friday night at work?
By the Chelsea end of Green. The
night? Yeah,
I'd cave people's heads in with the trophy if it was me. But anyway, we get next a taped message. We take a breather from the live action. Joe, Trevor, and Velvet take us to a taped segment with Kyle Davis in an empty building with the Pope. And he pretty much says, and he said it in a quote, "While I respect Trevor, at some point, Pope's cashing in." I don't think there's any doubt that we are going to see either Trevor versus the Pope straight up, or Trevor, the Pope, and Jax Dane in the main event on December 4th at Hot Times 2 for the World's Heavyweight Championship. What do you think?
I agree. I hope it's – I'm not a big on the three-way. You know that. So. Yes. I really would like to see Pope versus Trevor. I think that's what everybody wants to see. Whether the belt will change hands right away, that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll be a good match. And I think that's what people want to see at this point.
I concur.
Is Pope going to turn on Trevor, or is it just going to be a regular face versus face match? You know, sometimes they do that in the NWA. Yep. Pope would be is such a great heel, though.
Yeah, he would be.
I like him much better as a heel.
But I just love hearing the Pope cut a promo. He's smooth as silk.
He is. He really is.
So that was a nice. It was a good little. It was a good little promo by the Pope. Then the promo that we really were waiting for. Kyle Davis is at the desk with Tom Latimer and Camille. We all know what happened last week on Power when Strictly Business imploded and Tom Latimer and Chris Adonis beat the crap out of the National Treasure, Nick Aldis, who, of course, is not here. Of course, Latimer grabs the mic, throws Davis away, and Latimer talks about being Nick Aldis's best friend, how they grew up in the business together. Aldis used him as a stepping stone throughout their entire career. Latimer wants Nick to take a good hard look into his son Donovan's eyes and apologize for being a failure, a loser, no belt, and that Uncle Tom kicked his ass. Saying that, you know, he used to go to the camps and make 30 pounds. Tom made 25. You know, Nick got a job in America. And of course, you know, he signed a deal with Impact Wrestling or TNA back in the day. You think Tom Latimer would have come with him, yada, yada. So a lot of jealousy and bitterness through the promo. I thought without Nick Aldis there and with him having the stage to himself, it was Tom Latimer's best promo.
I agree. I love it. Great heel heat. You know, nothing you haven't seen in wrestling before. You saw it with, you know, except for these guys are not brothers. You saw it with the Hearts,
mm-hmm.
you know, back in the 90s. You know, it's just that typical, you know, after a while, they could be either, you know, great brother, you know, close brothers or really close friends, and you get a little jealous. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a microcosm of life. I think sometimes in life, friends or brothers do become jealous of each other. I mean, I don't know necessarily they beat the heck out of each other. I mean, I guess when you're little, you will. But you know what I'm saying? Where you have that mm-hmm. little heat, you feel like, wait, why is he getting to be ahead of me? Or, you know, why am I always in the shadow?
Correct.
Yeah. And, Latimer's a great heel.
Yeah.
And you are going to see he and Aldis going at it. But it doesn't matter. You don't need even a championship on the line for that.
No, not at all.
Because they're just creating good heel heat right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could be the best heel in the NWA just from this storyline.
Yep, I agree. And a good, you know, and a great heel woman by his side, who's also the women's champion. It's sad because the pandemic took away a year of great Strictly Business. Because a lot of people are like, well, they didn't last long enough. Well, they were around for 2 years. We just lost a year because of COVID. But, you know, maybe it had run its course. Maybe not. I guess that depends on the eye of the beholder. But Nick Aldis obviously taking a he's probably doing backstage booking and stuff, creative and stuff. But I don't think we're going to see him on camera for a while. It says he's going to be at, he's been mentioned to be at By Any Means Necessary, the show in Kentucky. We'll see if that sticks because that's been said since before. That was said before what happened last week happened. So we'll wait and see. As they walk off, in walks the Cowboy, James Storm. Last week coming off his big win over Judas, even though Judas is still the number one contender for the NWA National Championship. James Storm says, you know, I love family. It was good sitting around in my underwear, drinking beers at home with my kids, but kind of miss being a national champion. So I'll have to wait and see. I know you're not a fan.
I love that he says it's the greatest job in the world. And, you know, mm-hmm. I get to come out and see everybody, drink beer, you know.
Right.
James Storm's, I could see him being a heel, and he has been, but I think he's more of a face kind of guy. I think you need him in the NWA. Kind of balance things out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So kind of digging that. I'm very happy. When I saw him at NWA 73, I was pumped, but I was kind of bummed that's probably just a one shot. No? Cowboys in the NWA, my friend. Very excited about that. Loved him pre-COVID. It's good to have him black, him back. So next up, our second match, title match, our NWA television champion, Big the Manster, Tyrus, taking on his fellow Austin Idol Enterprises colleague, Jordan Clearwater, who won a number one contenders for it. And of course, also accompanied by Black G's. Of course, it's a time limit of 6:05. And the bell rings and they're like shaking hands and they're hugging and, you know, they're hugging the ref and Tyrus is taking an hour to take his jacket off. And of course, I know what's going on. You know what's going on, Doctor. But it eventually took them like a minute and a half to figure out what was going on. And that is, of course, that this is a complete fucking sham and that Tyrus is trying to collect easy lucky seven wins. Towards, of course, for those that just remind you all the time, if the NWA television champion wins seven straight matches, he automatically gets a NWA World's Heavyweight title shot. So he's already got one, and now he's trying to get, or does he have two? I think he had two. Now he's trying to get a cheap third. Eventually, Clearwater does some Midas touch kicks and everything, tries to do a figure four, but eventually Tyrus hits the heart punch and wins the match. So, Remain keeps the title. Of course, the whole thing was a fucking joke. They all go up to the podium, and Tyrus says that he's going to rip Scion apart on December 4th. So, we already have a match set, pretty much, Doctor. Set in stone for, times two. Scion, otherwise known as the Mass Wrestler, is getting the shot against Tyrus for the World's Television Championship on December 4th. So, we know we have two
title
matches.
I still can't figure out who Scion is.
I can't either. But it looks like we have two matches locked in stone. Scion and Tyrus for the TV title. And then La Rebellion will take on the winner of this tournament for the tag team title. So we have at least two matches set for December 4th. Finally, some long-term match booking, Doctor. I know we were very critical of NWA for slapping matches together at the last minute without really, you know, putting anything behind them. But it's good that we're kind of getting some forethought as we get to the last show, NWA show of 2021 on December 4th. So there we go. Then kind of the weird, uncomfortable part of the show. I don't know where they were going with this, but out came Mickie James to announce that in the near future, they didn't say which episode, there will be an Empower version of Power, meaning there will be an all-women's episode of NWA Power sometime down. They didn't announce when, but sometime down the line, maybe the first episode back at GPB, there will be an all-women's episode of Power. They're calling it Empower, Power, 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 for the Power, Power. As they're talking about that, out comes Kira Hogan. Now, as you know, Doctor, over the last several shows, Kira Hogan's been very critical of her, quote, idol, Mickie James, for being critical of her and her match that she had at Empower. Mickie James, you know, saying thank you and everything. She comes out, interrupts her, says, "I still don't feel like you have any respect for me. Why did you criticize my match? Why am I not on the Empower show on Power?" And you know, Mickie James is trying to say, "Listen, you know, I haven't done anything yet. You're getting a little pushy. Take your time." And Kira's like, "I'd like to wrestle you, my idol. Are you afraid of me?" And of course, Mickie's trying to play it off like, you know, this is not how we do business. We talk about this backstage, not in front of the fans. And Kira's like, "I don't care. And are you scared of me?" And so you could tell, you know, there's a subtle heel turn coming about involving Kira Hogan. Pretty good setup here, Doctor. You know, mentor versus student. That's always a good trope, depending who the players are. Kira Hogan is not new to the scene, of course. She has been in Impact for a while. We saw Mickie James wrestle at NWA 73, so we know she's in shape. I think this is a good angle for her, and kind of a secondary, because we need some more women's feuds. Right now, of course, we have Camille Molina.
Agreed.
We have the Hex. You know, they're the women's tag team champions. So this is good.
It is a chance for Mickey to give back to, you know, to help a younger talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kiera Hogan has a pretty good name in the business, but he has a chance to kind of get a little, you know, be able to work with Mickey James, who's worked, you know, worked in the WWE. So, you know, typical, like you said, you know, student teacher type of rivalry. Mm-hmm. And you could see that Kiera's, you know, she's very upset and, you know, she's she wants to wrestle her idol, but there's a little bit more to that. I'm sure Kiera's going to get a little what she perceives as revenge on what Mickey James saying about her in terms of her match.
Mm. I agree. Yeah. So obviously we have that percolating. So we'll see what happens.
So it wasn't. So I guess Mickey is going to stick around then.
Well, she's, I mean, it's her husband's inventor.
Because she was, remember they were saying before the pay-per-view, what she wasn't signed
right
to a contract that, you
know.
Well,
she is also feuding. She is feuding still in Impact with Deonna Purrazzo too, on and off. So that's still going on as well. So, but I think she enjoys being a part of the NWA, particularly all the women backstage that are heading the women's division. You have her, you have Jazz, you have Medusa. Let me tell you something. You want to talk about a learning tree. If you don't learn anything from them, why are you even in the business? Yeah. If you're not learning anything from them, why are you even in the business? To be honest with you. Have you noticed, Doctor, on a side note, before we get to our main event, have you noticed that that other show isn't getting a lot of pub? They're not getting the spots like
they do. They still suck. I think
I have to agree with you. They still do the post show, but they're not like, remember they did those ghastly interviews on that week's episode of Power Surge, you know, and now they're not even getting like their little promos.
Hmm. Yeah, where's our little,
you know, why?
Ad?
Because you know where you could find the best NWA podcast in the world? Right here.
That's right. And we even have better merchandise than the actual company too. Look at that.
That is true. That is true. Go to tpublic.com, type PTBW in the search and show off the merch. We're still working on getting some secondary stuff, but show off all of the great logos from all of our fine programming here on the network.
Get an NWA
even the retired shows.
Saturday special t-shirt. Yep. Get the light blue like I have. You'll love it.
If you want to get a Turn Back the Clock shirt, get a pink Jenny and the Gems shirt like Dr. G. He's worn it out in public. He's gotten rave reviews for it. Just letting you know. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying. Jenny and the Gems was a great show. But thanks to the cock, it is now in the archive. Great show, by the way. Myself, Jennifer Smith, Matt Souza, Drew Wardlaw, going over the hidden gems on the old network. Go to the archive and check out some of our great fun and games we had on that show. All right, time for the main event, the other half of the bracket in the number one contenders tournament for the World Tag Team titles. Who will face Hawks Airy in the final? Will it be The End, of course, Odinson and Paro, or the former World's Tag Team champions, Aaron Stevens and Kratos? Now, of course, over the past few weeks, Doctor, Kratos has been trying to get in Aaron Stevens' head to snap out of whatever funk he's in and get back to being the Aaron Stevens we know, the former national champion Aaron Stevens, the third degree national champion Aaron Stevens. So we only had two matches on this show, the two tag matches. We had a lot of
interviews.
Interviews and
good stuff though. It's building up the storylines to the pay-per-view, which is what they need to do.
Exactly. So, all right. Forearm exchange in the climax. Corner clothesline exchange. Kratos with a flying forearm smash. Kratos power slams Paro for two. Paro decks Kratos with a jawbreaker. Stevens ducks a clothesline from Paro. The referee's trying to calm down Stevens, who's trying to get fired up. Odinson drop kicks Kratos. Paro repeatedly stomps on Kratos' chest. Paro mauling Kratos in the corner. He knocks Stevens off the ring apron, then clubs blows to Kratos' back. Kratos comes back with elbows into the midsection. Kratos punches Paro, then Paro comes back and drops Kratos with a big boot. Paro walks over the midsection of Kratos, the assisted Death Valley driver for two. Odinson repeatedly drives his knee into Kratos' back. Kratos with two haymakers. Odinson with a step up enziguri. Nice move there. Kratos responds with a straight right hand. Tags in Stevens. Odinson ducks a clothesline from Stevens. Odinson connects with a schoolboy roll-up to pick up the victory as Stevens is there jawing with Paro, but Odinson rolls him up, and the end. Odinson and Paro will take on Hawks Airy in the tournament final. And, of course, Kratos is pissed that a veteran like Aaron Stevens got fooled on a schoolboy roll-up. Shoves Stevens as we go off the air.
Yeah, the storyline's gone on for a while, and now they added this new twist of, you know, showing that Stevens kind of lost his fire, and Kratos is trying to bring out the best in him, and you know, you saw him getting fired up, and you hear, you know, the announcers were talking about, you know, oh, you know, Aaron Stevens, he's, you know, he needs to get back to his old self. Even Trevor was saying, you know, the Aaron Stevens I know. And then, you know, he seems like he's getting pumped up to get back, to get in the ring, to get revenge for them. The end hurting his partner. And he comes in there and gets fooled. And, you know, now he's even more depressed.
Yeah.
And now he's getting yelled at more by Kratos. So it's kind of an interesting storyline. It should be interesting to see how that's going to go. I think it's just going to be where Stevens just snaps on Kratos.
Yeah.
Maybe that's,
I also think that, I also think, yeah. And I also think obviously they could use the fact that he hasn't been the same since Josephus died. And yeah, I think it's a good, I think it's, I mean, solid.
Like I've always said, Aaron Stevens is a better heel.
I agree.
But right now he's kind of, I don't know, he's kind of like in between right now. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they write this, but I'm kind of enjoying it. It's a nice little secondary storyline in the tag team division to just kind of keep things flowing. And again, it's one of these storylines. What has this been going on now where we think these two are going to break up, what, 6-7 months now?
Yeah, it's, well, maybe it probably longer. Started over a year ago.
How long do you usually get a storyline like that in wrestling these days? Not many companies do that anymore.
Well, the pandemic helped because, I mean, they won the tag titles on Primetime Live back last year and held it for almost a year. So the pandemic kind of helped the storyline along. But yeah, you're right. I agree with you. And now, we may finally see the breakup. We'll have to see what happens down the line. But the main thing here is we have our tournament final, Hawks Airy and The End in the tournament championship. The winner will take on La Rebellion World Tag Team titles on December 4th at Hard Times 2. And with that, we go off the air. Another great episode of Power.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good setups for the storylines to get you to the pay-per-view. You know, we still have, you know, a little more than a month and a half left to the pay-per-view. So there's a lot of things that could happen. And again, we have the, you know, the tried and true, by no means necessary pay-per-view next week in between. But I think that's just, like you said, I think it's kind of like a glorified house show, I think. Yeah, I think everything's leaning towards Hard Times too right now.
Well, the good thing is they're obviously not pimping the tried and true show because these were all taped before probably the announcement, but they can do things at that show to accelerate storylines heading to Hard Times.
No doubt. So
obviously we'll be heading back to the GPB for power shows. And overall, though, great show. A lot of storyline advancement. Only a couple of legit matches, the two tags, not counting the TV title match. So I'm very happy where the things are right now. Excuse me.
You know, I am
mid-card
as well.
Solid. Everybody, by the way, I'm kind of liking the storyline with Trevor Murdoch as champion doctor. It's almost like there are so many good top-level heels in the company that any one of them can take a shot at the champ. Not counting the Pope, because he's a babyface, but you got Jax Dane. You got Tyrus, who only needs five more wins to get his shot, and he was glaring at Murdoch during his interview and when he was in the ring before his match. So I'm kind of digging that. The best kind of thing to do when you have a good babyface champion and no immediate opponent is build the perception that you are a wanted man. And that's exactly what they are sculpting right now for Trevor Murdoch, is that he is a wanted man. Everybody's out to get him. Obviously, I don't know if they do the same rule that they used to do in WWF, but Nick Aldis probably has a title shot rematch somewhere down the line. I don't know if they still do that shit anymore, but let's pretend they do. But we don't know when he'll do that. He's obviously going to become a babyface, and he's going to sell these injuries, so we don't know when he's coming back, which is fine. I think if anybody deserves a breather, it's Nick Aldis. So, what are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on kind of where Trevor Murdoch stands right now as a babyface champion and how they're kind of sculpting all the heels are out to get him?
I kind of like it. I mean, you know, when you're the champion, everybody's hunting you down. And you have to defend against all comers. And I know that, you know, there are people that don't like Trevor as champion. But some face had to win it, so it's him. And I think I think everybody wants to see him facing Pope. I mean, obviously, we wanted to see Aldis facing Pope as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that Trevor gets a lot of criticism, and you may not care for his character per se, but he could go in the ring. For a big guy, yes. He could go in the ring.
Yep, so I agree.
He's gonna give you a pretty good match every time he goes out. I know that I'll be taking some shit from Sean on that one, but I may not totally care for his character per se, but I think his in-ring work is decent. I don't think there's anything wrong with his in-ring work. I think he could move pretty well for a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that he is being hunted and wants to be the fighting champion. Now it'd be nice to see him in some matches. And I know that they try to limit the champion being on, you know, make that special. They did that even with Nick Aldis. He didn't wrestle every single week. And I think that's the right thing to do. Even Ric Flair, you know, during the 605 era, he didn't wrestle every week. But when he did, it was a special thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that was that everybody really looked forward to.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, it's a good, you know, while we're trying to, like, settle in on who the next real challenger is, obviously, Trevor is going to be there. They announced it at the Tried and True pay-per-view in Kentucky. It's not going to be against Jax Dane because, of course, Jax Dane is facing Crimson in the steel cage, which I know you're excited about, Doctor. We're finally getting a steel cage match.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So we don't know who Trevor's facing or if he's just showing up, maybe cutting a promo or something. Maybe that's where the Pope will announce that he's cashing in December 4th. So just because he's there doesn't necessarily mean he's wrestling. So that should be very interesting. So we'll see what happens. That'll do it. That's about it for this week's episode of the Saturday Special. Any recap of Power? Pleasure as always. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Scott C. Podfather. You can follow the Doctor on Twitter at Dr. GPTB. And follow the brand on Twitter at PTBN Wrestling. We've got a lot of great shows up this week. New episode of Extreme Resurrection. New episode of PTBN's Evolution. Andy Atherton talking Shawn Michaels. See who he's talking Shawn Michaels with? Go to the feed here and check it out. New episode dropping later today. If you're listening to this on Saturday morning, new episode dropping later today of YouTube Roulette. Check that out. And after a one-month layoff, for us to kind of reset our batteries, yes, the mothership returns this coming Monday. Myself and my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, returning with the newest episode, of course, of the Place to Be podcast. Special Halloween episode, even though it's October. even though it's before October 31st, we are having our Halloween episode, but we're kind of a different thing we're doing this week. So check it out on the feed. Check out all the great shows, including your show, of course, Doctor, and NWA Croc and Roll, as you guys are delving into 1986, which is a pretty solid year in the NWA. Of course, good stuff early in the year, middle of the year. And then, of course, as we were gearing up towards Starrcade, of course, the terrible car accident that ended the career of Magnum TA. Of course, you guys will talk about that when you get there. So great stuff here on the PTB Wrestling Network. The fans feed. Thank you for all of your years of loyalty and listening. It's always been an honor to give you the best in podcast content. And of course, check out the other feeds in the Quad of Pods, the PTB Pop Experience, the Jenny Position, the No So, all great stuff up and down the dial. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the football. Enjoy college football. Enjoy the postseason if you're a baseball fan and your team is still in it. Hockey season started, Doctor. In fact, my Boston Bruins actually start tonight. If you're listening to this on Saturday, after the league's been going on for 3 days, the Bruins don't start till tonight, which is kind of weird. But go Kraken. That's my little pet team. That's my new Western Conference team, the Kraken of Seattle. Pretty cool. The NBA starts soon as well. All that fun stuff.
That's right.
I am
Scott. Sox still suck, okay?
Isn't this like a weird postseason? And I apologize for those that are fans of any of these teams, but if you're not a fan of the four, well, it depends. As we're talking, we're not sure who has won Game 5 between the Dodgers and the Giants. Let's just assume, I mean, I'm rooting for the Giants, but just in case the Dodgers win, your two league championship series is Dodgers-Braves and Astros-Red Sox. I mean, unless you're a fan of those
teams lose, that would be nice.
Could you ask for any more four unlikable teams if you're dying in those markets? That's why, God, I'm rooting for the Giants. Again, as we're taping.
I'd like to see the Road Warriors. Oh, man, I guess they can't.
Take out all, I know you can. But, rest in peace. Anyway, I'm Scott. He's the Doctor, and you're not.
Ciao.